Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Ephesians 4 and 11 said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I want to talk to you about the perfect church, the perfect church. Now, that can be a little bit misleading because it might assume that the church is already perfect. And yet, as we observe the Word of God, the Scripture says that there is a perfecting of the saints. There is a work of the ministry. There is an edifying of the body of Christ until we come in the unity of the faith to a perfect man, until there is a measure that is reached, until there is a stature that is grown up to, until there is a fullness, not a partiality, not something that is halfway there, not something that is good enough, but something that will be perfected. And so we wait for that day. And it is my great conviction that this perfected moment will come when the rapture of the church takes place. Well, obviously, that trumpet is not sounded. The dead in Christ have not risen yet. We have not been caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air yet. And so we are still in this church age, in this dispensation of grace, reaching for that perfected moment. In the meantime, we strive, we push through, we press, and we get up from the mud of our mistakes, and we get up out of the dust of past failures, and we equip ourselves with better knowledge, greater faith, increased hope, tenacity and truth that will never let go, a bulldog grip, if you will, and we move forward. We continue to accomplish and to achieve. We continue to bombard the gates of hell as an irresistible force of the church of the living God. But understanding that we have not made it to this perfect place yet. Now think about it. Some people think that perfection is based on religious understanding, how much knowledge that we might have. And yet Paul would teach us in 1 Corinthians 13 that knowledge can puff up. We can become a little too proud of what we know. In fact, it's what the Pharisees used when Jesus walked in his earthly ministry and constantly had to confront their judgmentalism and their attitudes and arrogance because they thought they were so much better than everyone else, and they lived and reeked of self-righteousness because they thought they were perfected by all of the laws and legislations and rules and regulations that they followed, and yet they had no relationship with God. And so we understand that our true Christianity and our apostolic faith is not based just in our religious beliefs or just in our restrictions and regulations, but even greater in our relationship with the cornerstone, because the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And he is more an architect of character than he is the development of religious creeds. And so you and I have a burning inside of us. We have a passion for the things of God. You want to know and learn and internalize the Word of God, and that's all great. We just have to be careful that we don't make the pharisaical mistake of being whited sepulchres, being beautiful on the outside, having a great appearance of Christianity, but on the inside being full of dead men's bones because we have no compassion because we've lost humility, because we've allowed our arrogance and status and entitlement to overtake us. And so as we look at what are the primary components of a perfect church, God is not as much impressed by what we see or even by what we say, but how we serve. When you go to John chapter 2 and you see the first miracle of Jesus at a wedding, it was a group of servants who filled up the empty water pots with water. And when the governor of the feast and all those that were participating in the feast drank of the incredible wine that had been provided last minute, nobody knew where it came from, but the Bible says that the servants knew. Because when you serve the Lord, you do get to see things and you get to say things that are absolutely out of this world. But it's because it is first steeped in this attitude of servitude, in this principle of giving yourself as a living sacrifice to the kingdom of God. You may not have very many abilities, but you may have availability. You might not be able to do the works that others can do, yet you have a willingness and a passion to be available, to show up, to be at your post, to volunteer, to say, Lord, here I am. I don't know how I can be of help, but I want to be of service. And when you think about even in the kingdom of God, how important prayer is. A lot of times folks see the talent that's displayed on a platform, but they forget the power that is released in a prayer room. And I pray today that somehow we can understand that we are fitly framed together, that it's not even the best among us, but it's also the least among us that make us who we are, that empowers the church of the living God to do things that are astounding, to do things that confuse and confound the wise of this world, that goes beyond the intelligence quotients and measurables of this world and goes beyond all of the educational books and all of the stacked up knowledge. And it comes back to the very heart and the very root and the very foundation of what it is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. You might not be the best teacher in the church, but you might be willing to fight for a soul. You might be willing to go the extra mile to reach somebody that seems unreachable. You might be willing to show up and pray the extra 30 minutes that somebody else is not willing to do. And so from that outcropping, from the harvest of this passion in the soul to be pleasing to God and to have a relationship with God and to have a sincere burden for those that are broken and lost without God, the Lord will take that and he will release that anointing to break yokes. He will release the power of that prayer to bring captivity out of the prisons of darkness. And so, my friend, today, I don't want you to think about your abilities as much as I want you to think about your character. I don't want you to think about what talents that you might have to offer a particular church in a music program or in a Sunday school program or in some kind of class setting or lecturing atmosphere or whether it might be leading a certain team in a certain area. But this burning desire in the depth of your soul, first and foremost, to be an emblem, a sign, a reflection of righteousness to the world, to be an ambassador of Christ in whatever you do. And all of a sudden now, out of this willingness, God begins to see that you're going to be there when others don't show up. And you're going to be standing ground when others have run for cover. And you're going to be lifting a sword of the Spirit when others have sheathed their sword. And in their personal, physical, and spiritual fatigue and exhaustion, they've gone over and sat down on the sidelines. But I'm going to tell you that God will raise up that one, because he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We need folks in this hour who have some spiritual stamina to them, who have a tenacity in their faith that won't just run for cover and won't just hide in a cave somewhere every time trouble and affliction shows up. But this is when they really are ignited. This is when their faith is truly initiated. This is when their practice of what they are passionate about is truly inspired. And they refuse to take no for an answer. And so when we're talking about the perfect church, when you're talking about being fitly framed together, It doesn't matter how much hang-ups you have. It doesn't matter how many human deficiencies that you have. It doesn't matter how many accumulated mistakes that you have in your past. It's where you are presently standing with this hunger for holiness, with this desire for God, with this passion, again, to be pleasing to the Lord. As 2 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you take that to heart. It's not just something that you have in your head. It's not just something that you can quote, a list of rules. It's not just something even that you can brag about because you uphold all of the things in appearance and attitude that appear to be right. But in the depth of your soul, in the sincerity of your spirit, in the core of your being, you truly have this desire to be one with the Lord, to be in harmony with heaven, to be in alignment with the Almighty God. In Hebrews 11, we see in this hall of faith where so many incredible characters have pushed through the complications of the world to reach for a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. And when we pick up in verse number 32, the writer begins to say, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Barak and of Gideon and of Jephthah, of Samson and of David also, of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, the Bible says, were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in caves and dens of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be, here it is, should not be made perfect. So when we examine all of the incredible, larger-than-life characters of Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, when you're talking about Abraham, who by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. When you read about these sojourners and these soldiers, when you read about these spiritual explorers and those that it was more than just an experiment to them, they were sold out. They gave everything, not only in what they believed in their spirit, but in how they practiced that and the altars that they built on a daily basis. Of course, when you see earlier in the text when it says they escaped the edge of the sword, and then later it says others were slain with the sword, well, there's the contradiction of faith, so to speak. There's the real balance between time and eternity, that it's not just about the good results, but even in the bad results. And not in just the prosperity, but in the persecution. Not just in the great conquerings, but in the daily conflicts. Not just in the moments when they're standing in the palace of achievement, but others when they're sitting alone, dwelling in the prisons of brokenness. But all of them are in this place of faith, having obtained a good report. And so, my friend, it's not just about the results that gives us a good report. It's not just about the outcome of what we've been praying for that gives us a good report. It's the endurance, the durability of our faith, the spiritual stamina that won't faint when it doesn't go our way. And so my prayer today is that somebody can see that beyond all of the mess and conflict and breaking down and trying to break through, but you feel like you're a step or two short of where you're trying to get to, and yet look at what the scripture says, that they without us. Now look at that in that last verse of Hebrews 11. They without us. When you might be going, well, who am I to be compared to Abraham? Who am I to be compared to Moses? Who am I to be compared to Samson and Gideon and David and these great men and women of God? But the point is, they can't get to perfection without our performance. They can't get to perfection without us completing the church age. They can't get to us or to a place of perfection without us also getting to a place of spiritual advancement, of breaking through, of overcoming certain things that they had to face. And so don't you let the enemy minimize who you are, and don't minimize yourself. As you look at the mirror of God's word, you need to begin to see a reflection of somebody who is growing in the power of God, growing in the power of your testimony, growing in an experience that is not only something that is rooted in the rivers of the Holy Ghost, but something that has a witness to it, something that has something that is so palatable and so taste worthy and has the flavors of grace and mercy and compassion in it that others want to experience. So that when you tell somebody, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, it's not just empty religious rhetoric. It comes out of, it's a reflection out of the character that you have and the personal relationship that you have with God. And so, my friend, listen, you've got things that maybe hold you in reserve, make you feel like you're too afraid to try and do what the Lord has called you to do or given you the gumption to do, but feel a little too afraid to talk to that person on the job about the kingdom of God, even though they've thrown the door wide open and they've shared with you the chaos and crises of their life. But I'm telling you, my friend, that you don't have to be Abraham. You don't have to be Sarah. You don't have to be these great legendary figures of the Bible, because they can't even be what they want to be without us. Now, we can't be what we want to be without them. They had to lay the groundwork. They had to establish the foundation. They had to give to us the fundamentals of our apostolic faith. But we're still building on that foundation. We haven't reached the peak of the roof yet. The last shingle hasn't been put on the house yet. There's still some more things to be accomplished for the kingdom of God, and He wants to use you. Even if you feel like smoking flax, He's not going to quench. And even if you feel like a bruised reed, He's not going to break it and say it's no good. He can use you with all of the things that you feel like are holding you back and all of the things that you feel like are fragmented and broken down and just don't have that much worth to them. You'd be surprised at what kind of value God puts in the broken places of your life and in the fragments of your past. Not because you're using them to make excuses, but you're using them to have a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. Look where the Lord has brought me out of. Look how He has set my feet on a rock. Look how He has led me out of darkness into marvelous light. Look how He has equipped me and given me the armor of my faith so that I can have a helmet of salvation and a breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. And when I go into battle fully armored, I'm not going to be the victim, but I'm going to be an overcomer and victorious through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the authority of the name of Jesus. Back to earlier in Hebrews 11, it talks about how those who had left their other stations in life and countries behind, how they desire now a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now think about that. There are people in this legendary status of the book of Hebrews 11. They made some terrible mistakes. They made some bad choices. They even had some terrible sins that they had to overcome in their lives. But they didn't stay in that pit. They always came out of these caves and these pits and these wandering places. And even though at times they felt destitute, afflicted, and tormented, they still held on to the promises of God because they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They were convinced that the heaven that was preached about was more than just some mental fantasy or some dream in the night when they were asleep. That was going to be the reality of the great getting up moment. And so, my friend, be encouraged today that you don't have to be perfect, but you're striving for perfection. You haven't arrived yet, but you haven't also just camped out and settled in religious mediocrity. You're not satisfied with maybe what you've already experienced, achieved, or accomplished, but you have this burning desire to move on, to continue to explore until the trumpet of the Lord sounds. You have this desire to dig deeper into the Word of God and to go deeper into your relationship with God through prayer and through communion with Him and through these deep places of meditations in the heart. In fact, that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 19. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." So that's what's important, is am I impressing Him? My relationship with God is above every religious exercise. And we understand that faith without works is dead, but also we understand that we're not saved by our works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what Ephesians 2 teaches us. So in this balance of, I have been given the grace of God, I've been given this incredible experience of the Lord, but I might get knocked down. I might trip up. I might let myself from time to time get snared by things and pride of life and the things of this world. But I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to build some false doctrine of sin justification. But we move forward with repentance. We move forward by daily tying this old flesh to that altar and saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." And in this submission to the Lord, we understand that we are a part of a church that is being perfected. And when the Lord comes for His church, it will be the perfect church. But we're not there yet. You're not a part of a perfect church, and you never will be on this side of eternity. But when we get to that fullness, to that measure, to that stature, when we've finally grown in the last inch of grace and character and holiness that the collective body of Christ can achieve, then, my friend, that's when the great getting up morning is going to take place and mortality is going to put on immortality. In the meantime, get up and go on and move forward with faith, that no matter how deficient you might feel or how insufficient to the task you may feel, if you've got a heartbeat for the things of God, you're going to do some things that are amazing for the Lord, and you're going to be a part of creating the perfect church. In Jesus' name.
Come on and put your hands together. Come on and worship Him in this room. He's my Savior. When the storms are raging, He's my shelter. Where He leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and He loves me. Everybody say,
I love Jesus.
He's my Savior.
Savior.
When storms
are raging,
He
is my shelter.
There He leads me.
I'm
gonna follow.
I love Jesus, and He loves me.
Oh, I love Jesus. He's my Savior.
He's my Savior.
When storms
are raging,
He's my shelter.
He's my shelter.
So good.
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 Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.